it.
So you don't know who won the poke last night?
No, I didn't. I should have gone over there last night, but I didn't feel it. Should have gone over there.
I got an invitation to ride in Marlene's car next year.
Oh, well, that's nice.
In the parade?
Mm-hmm. We used to put at least one fire truck, and they didn't put one in this year.
I'd like to come back. A friend of mine, just one of the women who's in our group, there's five who came over together in two cars. She and I are thinking about taking that Chilkoot trip next year. We'll have to get ourselves in shape to climb hills, but we've done some hiking before, so. And then come down. Of course, that's not roughing it the way the Klondikers did it, or the Stampeders, but it would be a wonderful experience for me.
Oh, definitely would.
And but I just don't know anything about rivers or handling boats or rafts.
Well, they think
take the, your two boys. Oh,
the river is
take the three, I guess.
The river is there's
there
no
two
problem
yours.
On the river. The river
well, maybe
is
maybe Libby'd go with you.
As safe as any river in the world to canoe down. It's mm-hmm.
Well, your Klondike Visitors Association. Have you promoted or attempted to promote in any way this river travel?
Well, they're now, of course, the Klondike Visitors Association work in connection with the Yukon Visitors Association.
Mm-hmm. The Klondike Visitors Association is more or less the Dawson.
That was local.
Yeah, it's
local,
just
local place.
We had the first outside of when the White Pass went out of the passenger business on the river, and there were no more tourists or anything coming, and nobody coming into town. Well, then the Klondike Visitors Association, when they started up, they were promoting Dawson then by making up their own pamphlets and putting the road maps in it and everything else mm-hmm. to entice the people down here and tell them what there was here. And then, of course, they started the Yukon Visitors Association. And they had the money to do it with, and we work along with them.
Mm-hmm.
We have our members of the old Klondike Visitors Association are members of the Yukon Visitors Association on the executive. And so
well, we have a similar setup in our state in Alaska.
Yeah, so that's
we
where
have
you,
local Fairbanks visitors group and well, it's Chamber of Commerce oriented.
Yeah,
but
you have to have
it. We have a state.
Your local group. You have to have a local group. You can't depend on.
Oh yeah. If you want anything here, you have to.
You've got to get there and push
to
get
after
it. That's
yourself.
All you do. But that's the way it is. It's. The effort that was put in to start with, it showed results, and it's getting results.
Well, we're getting kind of tired, and we can sit back now, but we still support them.
You can see the results of all your efforts, though.
Yes,
and
sure.
Yes, that's what we feel, that
the results of it.
It's really well worth
No, we're not taking too active a part in it. No, we did have take an active part in it when it was necessary to get it on the road.
Mm-hmm. Well, to get back to the river, the travelers on the river, many people come down just individually or two.
Yeah, there are two people in the boat.
It'd
be one person come down in the canoe
all the time.
Mm-hmm.
The police would know at Whitehorse pretty much. They put out a plea this summer. There's so much trouble of people getting lost. See, you're missing them, and the police have to spend hours and hours searching for them. Well, they used to be in the early days. Anybody hit the river had to be registered. It went on the overland trail. You had to register at the police post before you hit the trail. And your party, if there were six in your party, when you come, if you're coming down the river in a boat, those six had to be it. They were notified all along the river.
So if there was an accident, one or two were lost, then they knew it.
And Dawson was notified by overland telegraph that the number, each boat had a number on it. And how many occupants in it, when they got in here, if they were short an occupant, that group was held till they find out what happened to that other man, to prove what happened to that other man.
Have you had any problems this summer? Any people?
Well, there was a couple drowned on the, up above there, but just being foolhardy, that's...
Just young people?
Young people, yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's not... The river, if you overload a canoe, you're going to have trouble. If your canoe is too small, you're going to have trouble with it. The water is fast. It runs, and if you get in the high water, you'll run 12 miles an hour current.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's no problem at all if you can handle a canoe at all. But you just get right out in the current, and all you got to do is steer the boat, and you're on your way.
In the past, since you've lived here in Dawson, can you recall any major river tragedies where maybe a boat had sunk? Or?
Oh, yeah, the Dawson sunk, and the...
I don't think they've lost any lives.
No lives lost.
And I can remember any...
They sank in the Rink Rapids. Two boats sank that I...
Yeah, but that's...
But they would just hit a rock and they settled there, you see.
But the passengers...
The passengers, they've got lifeboats and everything on board, and they got the passengers all safely ashore, and all the freight was insured, so it was all covered. When the casket, I guess it was the casket, we were in the Mayo country then, up on Warnicke Camp on Keno Hill. And we had a shipment on there of linoleum and groceries and other stuff. When it landed on the dock, and they took it all up to Mayo, that's where our landing was. And the freighter that was handling our stuff, he said he wouldn't take it off the dock. It was what was spoiled, he wouldn't take it off the dock. And so we just listed a claim for it right away and told them all the situation, and right back, as soon as they could get it on the way, it was in before the last boat replaced and sent in.
Mm-hmm.
But no tragedy. There's been people lost on the river, but that's mostly been on their own...
Because of their own
foolishness. Mm-hmm. That's...
Or inexperience.
Yeah, the river's not something to play with no time. And when people hug along a riverbank, you know, and they're coming along there, and there's always sweepers hanging down. And then if the water is fast along there, it's going to brush them off if they're not tipping a canoe over.
Yeah, well, we have those problems in Alaska.
So yeah, that's the same.
I think we're
your
about
terrain
the same
is the same
Alaska.
Up there. Just the terrain up there is just the same as ours here.
Mm-hmm.
There's you blindfold them, take an Alaskan blindfold them, take them over and drop them over in the Blackstone country, and he wouldn't know, but he was in some remote part of Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
Same to take somebody from here and take them, drop them in a remote part of Alaska. It's not a Chichago, but somebody that lived in the country. He knew it was a different country than he'd been through, but he wouldn't know that he wasn't in the Yukon.
Well, we were talking earlier about when you first came up here, Elmer, you worked on boats, and then you worked on the... Well, no, we didn't talk about that, I don't think. We talked about... You worked on a dredge, one job, it didn't last very long. Then you came into Dawson, and what did you do in Dawson?
Well, I worked on the boats again. I worked on longshoring when I come back to Dawson. And then I made one last trip, the second last trip, up to Whitehorse, because I hadn't replaced nobody in my place on the crew when I'd left it. And so I made one trip up there, and then come back here, and I was going to winter here then. And there was a restaurant opened up, and they wanted a night cook, so I went in there as a night short order cook. And I worked
where'd
for a
you
year.
Learn to cook?
I didn't. I just for cooking for myself.
Oh.
So I went and I told him I could handle a job, and I handled it till he was a booze fighter, and he excellent baker, a good cook. But he wrote a letter to the postmaster and said they'd find his body in the bottom of the Klondike. He got a couple of bottles of Irish whiskey and went up on the hillside and drank it up. When he sobered up, he'd come back again. But then we had closed the restaurant down in that time. I wanted to get the lease on it, but the lease had been promised to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And the banker, Finlayson, offered to back me to open it up, to reopen it. Well, it's too late to reopen it. I've got to carry all the deadheads from the other two restaurants that are, but they wouldn't carry them. I'd have to carry them. You go $5,000 in the hole in the wintertime.
Well, the fellow who left the note, you didn't find his body in the bottom?
No, he came back.
He came back.
He came back.
Get over
well, he ended up, they hung him at last because he killed a man here in town. He was a hophead too, I'm sure of that. But he was a good cook.
Do they have death penalties here for
No,
still?
No death penalties. No, there's lots of them that were sitting there waiting for the death penalty, but it's always computer.
He was the last one.
He was the last one that was hung here.
There's not many that were ever hung here.
No, it wasn't many.
I remember one in the when I was just a kid. And that's the only ones.
Well, that would be around 35 when he was hung.
Well, did the whole town turn out for it, or was it a
Oh no!
Oh no! It's
very
I think there's invitations sent out to certain people.
Probably.
For all these hangings.
Yeah, well,
I don't know why anybody wants an invitation to go to see somebody jerk to Jesus, as the letterhead in one of the Fairbanks papers in the early days. He hung somebody in the black type all across the letterhead, so-and-so, a jerk to Jesus.
I think that's when W.F. Thompson was the editor. Okay. I've heard that story. Yeah. Jerk to Jesus. Well, in some of those cases, you know, they have to have legal witnesses.
Yeah,
I imagine that's what the invitations are
see
for.
See if it's done properly. Well, they don't know whether it's done properly or not.
Just check his pulse, see if he's dead, huh?
Yeah.
But the doctor is there to put a short rope, a long drop, they say, and puts the knot snaps in there.
Yeah.
And they lower him down and...
So he ended up at the end of a rope and not at the bottom of the Klondike.
No, he ended up at the end of a rope.
Yeah. Do you have, in the early, well, when you came up here, and since you've lived here, you and Margaret have been married, has Dawson had a problem with drinking on the streets? Or
we just passed here about 2 years ago. Territorial Council passed that ordinance that
you could
drink on the street, drink openly.
Open bottles and
you couldn't have an open bottle in your car.
Mm-hmm.
But then they passed out ordinance, and it just went from bad to worse.
Well, I know we were stepping over drunks there Saturday.
Well, yeah, it was terrible. Mm-hmm. And you see, now they can't pick them up for
this
that.
This is a territorial law.
Yeah, but they can pick them up for being drunk.
Yeah, but then what's it going to just take them?
But you've got the place for it. You got no more.
You've
got
to take them up and sober them up and let them go again.
Yeah.
So what's it going to picking them up?
But the idea is picking them up is to get them off the street.
Get them off the street, but then...
See drunken Indians laying there and drunken white men.
Yeah, but where are you going to put them?
Well, put a leg iron on them. They had them in there so the place is so full on the 17th of August.
This 17th?
Not this one, no. Past 17th. No, of course, they'd be fined right away. Or the next morning, they'd go before the JP and get a fine or so many days in jail, depending on how many times they'd been in there.
But before this repeal of the law, or this new law was... this new liberal law was passed. You didn't have this type of
No, we didn't have this problem like this.
Well,
they'd be drunk, sure, but they'd pick them up, throw them in. That's all there was to it.
Mm-hmm.
They'd put them to useful service. They'd give them 5 days or 10 days of keeping the place around the barracks clean and wash the windows and wash the
cars. Some of the stories we read of Dawson in its heyday, you know, I think a lot of the tourists come up here and have... or the visitors have a view of Dawson as a rambunctious, wild town.
Well, you know, a lot of our visitors come up here, they figure it's a wild open space. They look for
gambling dance halls
and people running around with guns. You were never allowed to carry a gun on your hip in the Yukon. You could in Alaska all the time in the early days, but not here.
Not here.
We had the law here before the stampede started. In 94, the first police post was down at Fort Constantine. They changed the name to Fort Cudahy. That's right at the mouth of the 40 Mile River. There was quite a mining community there. And in 96, when the strike was made, 40 Mile people, you might say, moved up as a body
to Dawson.
And when come 98, they brought in more policemen by that time, and they had police station at the White Pass Summit. You had to have 1,200 pounds of solid grub, or actually $500 in cash for each member of your party, and this 1,200 pounds of solid grub for each member of your party, or else he wouldn't let you over the summit, because the country didn't have that food for the amount of people coming in. But they had law and order right at the start here. The first police post was right in here.
Well, the visitors you get now, Margaret, you've worked in the museum quite a lot. The visitors you get now, do they still have this vision of Dawsonism? Or have they learned that Dawson is a civilized community?
No, they don't seem to realize that we are a civilized.
They don't realize that there's rules and regulations no matter where you go.
Well, you can see the way they park their cars. And it doesn't make any difference. They say, why don't you have signs? In fact, Just a simple little thing. I think any museum you go into, you don't take your pets with you. You don't smoke in a museum. Maybe some of the big places, they have a smoking room. So you can go into, but you don't roam around into the artifacts smoking a cigarette. But because you're in Dawson, anything goes. We have smoking, no smoking, all over the place. And then they had the nerve to say, well, if you don't want us to smoke, you should put up a sign. And I said, it's not necessary to have a sign. You should have brains enough to know not to smoke in the museum. But they pay because they're in Dawson. What difference does it make?
The other night at the Follies, the audience was requested not to smoke. And they were at the intermission, they could all go outside or in the lobby and smoke. And during the first act, or the first half of the performance, there was some girl up in the first row, lit up a cigarette. And there was a man in the top balcony above, and he kept after her. I don't know if you noticed that, Mrs. Coyle. Mm-hmm. But he says, no smoking. He kept after her until she put that cigarette.
Well, the ushers are all along each level.
Well, the girls weren't around then.
They weren't around, but this man up there, he just made sure
that's what they're there for once the show started.
Well, they're going around there, and a lot of people try to sneak beer up in the boxes, and they'll sit there drinking and smoking, and the girls have to keep walking around. Suddenly they have an awful lot of trouble with some of them because they figure that they can
just
get away with anything here.
But they will argue with them. There's no argument whatsoever. You tell them it's not to be done. And if they do it, they've got a phone downstairs.
Call the police.
That's what the police are there. They come up there and just take them to the box. I want them taken out. There's beer with him. Out he goes. That's all there is. No, you
should know. Good way to do it.
That's only you do it once or twice, and they understand. That's what the law is for. That's when they're ready to do their job if they're asked to do it.
But it's a strange thing. People seem to think, you can't smoke in the building. You can smoke outside. So there was one, and they were smoking out there, and a fellow dropped a cigarette, fell down, and it started to smoke. It was caught. But if that sidewalk had gone up in flames, the building would go too. But they just don't thought of
it. Well, then we put wall board right across that sidewalk. So
just put it down solid so it can go through the cracks.
No cracks in the drop.
Well, the present museum is in the old administration building.
Yeah,
it's
a very
territorial administration building.
Yeah, territorial government. That was the seat of government.
Mm-hmm. And do you have more, you doubtlessly have more objects to display.
We have a lot more.
A lot more to put out
more
if we had
there.
Space, but the building is in a sad state of repair, and that's the territorial government. We're going to replace the front approach there, but they haven't got around to it. They won't get it done now this year, I know that.
But it's likely that it would be considered an historical building.
Oh, it definitely is. It was built in 1901.
That it will be consumed by the federal program.
It's
marvelous.
And you see, this building here was built in 1901. This is the old courthouse. And so when the historic sites took it over, then instead of taking it over as a building just for historic, they made it the administration building of historic sites.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why this building is in use. Whereas it's really is so old it should be retired. But still, we're using it, and it's a wonderful place,
it's
isn't
a wonderful
it?
Building. Well, it was the court.
The court was in.
And the police.
The Royal Northwest Mounted Police Headquarters.
You see, up here was they had their dorm, and the boys lived here.
And downstairs were the offices.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The judges' quarters. At one time, the courtroom was up here, and there was a billiard room up here, and the it was a library up here,
mm-hmm.
and the judges' quarters were up here, and his office was up here. But it's been changed many times since.
I know that it's been used as a hospital one time.
See, 1950, when the main hospital we had, their sisters, St. Mary's Hospital up on top of the hill, the big hospital, was built in 98. It burnt.
In 1950.
And then the the Sisters of St. Anne got this a lease on this place for 20 years from the government.
Mm-hmm.
And they changed it around to make a hospital out of it. And then at the end, the hospital was upstairs, and the old folks' home was downstairs.
The old folks' home used to be the commissioner's residence.
Mm-hmm.
But then, of course, with the population diminishing and not having so they decided, the Sisters of St. Anne, they used to live upstairs there at the... they ran the hospital as well as the old folks' home. But it was needed a lot of repairs over there, so they moved the old folks over here downstairs and now the upstairs mm-hmm. hospital. And then when the Sisters of St. Anne... Well, they changed this end. That's why these four rooms here were made into the apartments for
the sisters.
Nurses.
Oh, the nurses. Mm-hmm.
And when the sisters
mm-hmm.
left.
Then the new hospital that we saw in Dawson
Father
City.
Father Judge's Memorial Hospital.
That's is that operated by the Sisters of St.
No,
Anne?
No, the sisters are not here.
Territorial government.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Band-Aid hospital. If you take more than three Band-Aids for anything, they send you to Whitehorse.
Well, with the population of 700 and some here, you know, it's hard to maintain a facility.
Well,
it's,
they've got the doctor, they've got the nurses.
They've got a good doctor.
But they haven't got the facilities anymore. They scrapped all the facilities they had here, they're obsoleted. And now, it costs more. The operation, I venture to say, over 10 years, the operation costs more than this one did.
But the old folks' home now, what is the... Does it have a name?
Yeah, McDonald.
Alec
McDonald Lodge.
Alec McDonald Lodge.
That's the new one. And the old one is the Sunset Home.
Now they're side by side.
Yeah.
Across from
they're
the...
Joined.
They're joined.
Oh, they're joined.
There's a tunnel, there's a report made into the other to Sunset Home now.
Well, to begin with, Sunset Home was for the aged, and they each had their own little propane stove and they had
a little apartment.
Each one cooked their own meals. Well, then when they built the Alec McDonald Lodge, they took all their stoves away from them, and they have to have the meals in the lodge. See, and there's a mm-hmm. ramp that goes from their place up into the lodge.
Mm-hmm.
So there's by themselves, they look after their rooms, but...
No, they don't look after their rooms now either. Their
they don't look after... Oh.
No, their rooms are looked after all the
time. Do you know how many guests are there?
No, I don't. They're in the Sunset Home, those that are capable of moving
15,
around.
But I think a few of them have died.
Yeah, there's maybe a dozen in the McDonald Lodge, and there's...
I don't think there's new ones.
There's about seven in the Sunset Home. They can go out when they want to and in and out all the time.
And who can take care of themselves?
Yeah, take care of themselves.
Mm-hmm. We used to go over there regularly, once a week.
I used to go over there.
They got so that they were
riding,
looking for. In fact, they wouldn't go for a walk because the scoundrels dared to come over.
But then
and they get kind of very possessive.
You get so possessive then.
But we haven't been able to go over so regular. And
well, you've been pretty busy, I can see that.
But Sunday used to be my day off at the fire hall, and Sunday afternoon we'd sometimes make four trips up the road, go to the hospital and pick up four of them. And
take them for a ride for
an hour or so, and come back and take another road out. And then it got so that it just had to be that. There was no such a thing as not, you just had to do it.
I got a kick out of one time. One of the old fellows says to me, he says, why don't you come over more often? He says, you've nothing else to do, so why don't you come? And he, you know, the unfortunate part is, they couldn't see that we gave up anything to go to see them.
Yeah.
But we went to see them because we had nothing else to do. They were just sort of a stopgap for us to give us something to do on our day off.
Well, they equated their life with your life.
Yeah.
Your life with their life. Where
so,
they had all the time in the world
yeah.
and you were
so
very busy.
We were so bored with ourselves that we had to go and spend time with them. Instead of thinking, and you know, it made you really stop and think, well, are we doing the right thing to be possessed by it?
See, after I come back from Mayo Country, we went up to Mayo Country.
Mm-hmm.
We raised our two boys up there. I worked for Treadwell Yukon Company on the flotation mill.
Treadwell Yukon.
on Keno Hill, and then we come back down here in 41 when the camp shut down up there. And I went into scout work here, and I spent 25 years with scouts and cubs here in Dawson. It got so it interfered with my regular fire department work, I had to drop it because it's...
Do they still have Boy Scout troops here?
No, we haven't got it. Haven't had a troop since I... Actually, haven't had a continuity in the trooper pack since I had to drop it. It's, I was looking after both of them at times. Both at different times my sons were helping me with it because they were both patrol leaders in the scouts and they'd help me with the cub pack. I have 32 cubs, you know. That's a lot
boys
of work.
To keep track of.
You should have at least two leaders for 32 cubs, but we never could get the continuity of leaders. That's the whole trouble. It's.
When did you retire from the fire department?
Be 69.
And then now you are working for the historic.
Yeah, I guess it was 69. I don't know.
Yeah,
is there any date on there? No. Yeah,
1969.
Yeah. But now your title here with this.
Yeah, I'm caretaker of.
The caretaker for the historical site facilities.
Yeah.
The headquarters here and their warehousing.
No, just this building.
Just this building.
Mm-hmm. And look after, see that they get heat.
Now, Margretha, you work at the museum. Part of the time, or all of the time. What is it? I'm not familiar with that.
I work 4 days a week, mm-hmm. 8 hours a day over there.
And are you paid for that?
Oh, yes. Yes. Before, we used to always do it just for the... But now, they've been paying, ever since they started this new museum, they've always paid somebody. So I've only been working the last few years in
is
there.
That the admission price at the museum?
The admission price is what is all the
just
money
about,
that we have.
Just about breaking.
And, well, we don't break even. They get a smaller grant from the territorial government each year, mm-hmm. which doesn't... If it wasn't for that, we would never break even.
Would you...
In fact, some days over there, we figured we don't even pay our wages, let alone our oil and electricity. Mm-hmm. So it's not really...
Do you visualize the entire building, that administration building as it is now, being restored and being used as a museum?
Well, I think the whole downstairs will be become a museum.
There's hopes.
What they'll do with the top floor, that's...
Oh, well, I've been told things by different ones, ideas they have there, but what we're really hoping for is to get somebody interested in some way so we can get enough money so we can build a new fireproof building and get out of there altogether.
You've got to.
I think it's a wonderful setting there. Personally, I'd like to see the whole, in fact, I'd like to see the whole building. I think we could use it to very good advantage. Of course, it would mean that we'd have to have financial assistance, because we'd have to have more attendance. Right now, there's three of us. We're two on a shift. It used to be one a shift, and that was really too much for all we...
Well, you have to watch the door, the guest book, and then check the smokers.
You've got to watch the
people
who
might
be
coming up. Believe it or not, but people help themselves an awful lot in that museum.
Is that right?
Yes. And, you know, you can't, even though you have somebody in around there, you cannot watch everybody. 99% of the people are honest and very good, but only takes one bad egg. And we've lost, a book, The Klondike. You can imagine the size of that book. We had it there, we've been looking at it, one of the girls have been looking in for reference. And the next day, somebody said something, she went to pick it up, and there's no place to be seen. And she said she knew she used it the day before. It just disappeared. And we have cases there, and we had a little tiny booklet that, well, you can't rewatch, look at everything every day,
mm-hmm.
but we just realized it's got in a case. People have the nerve to ask us to take things out of the cases for them to look at. Actually, we had them in the case for that reason. But, I've worked the experience
of losing that collection in the fire hall. I can see your concern.
But that building is far from being, the building is a bomb. If the fire ever started there, it'd be gone in 2 hours. It wouldn't last 2 hours.
It's probably coal dust.
But it's
But there is.
Get your museum. If we get a building that we could classify as fireproof, you can't. Of course, you can't. You can't build a fireproof building. You can build a fireproof building, but then what you put in what we call the fire road when you start moving people into it and things into it.
But then what I mean, you know what I mean
by
exactly
fireproof
building, a new building.
The kind of vaults in there.
But I don't see where we would ever raise the money for a long time to build a building big enough. And that one, have you been in the museum?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can see it's cluttered. Now, we can spread that out a lot more, and we've got an awful lot that we just can't put out.
What about the locomotives? Were they restored under the same
program? No, they're not restored. We just had them painted.
Yeah, but they were restored under the same program.
We had to bring them all over from KBA, brought them all over from Rousetown. That was the roundhouse over there for the Klondike Mines Railroad. Mm-hmm. We brought them over. Dick Gillespie hauled them over for Spray. Reasonable on the ice when they're, and then we had them set up in there.
We had two little Lokis that they used up at the company, and I worked hard about them there, and I worked down to get them. Finally, I got the two of them, and I was asked what I wanted two for, and I said I figured that